Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before we get into this upcoming episode all about back spasms, I want to talk about the shoespiracy that is going on. Vivo Barefoot is running another shoespiracy campaign, which is all about how the shoes that we put our feet in and how, for the most part, they are impacting our movement. They are impacting our connection to the ground. And in reality, they're impacting our life. And we just don't realize how much these shoes have an impact on our movement, on our pains, on everything we do day to day. I don't think we talk about this much in the episode, but our feet are so connected to how our backs operate. If we have a big heel lift, if the shoes are able to move and allow our toes to move how they're supposed to, if we can actually feel the ground, it truly is impacting our movement patterns up the chain. Jen and I have worn Vivo Barefoot shoes almost exclusively for the past 3 years and absolutely love how it has opened up our feet, our toes, our ankle, and connected us more in with our movement, with our body. So if you want to try out your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes, go down to the link in the show notes. You can use code OPTIMAL to get 15% off your entire order. And the great thing about Vivos is that you get a 100-day risk-free trial. So if you try them out and aren't completely satisfied, you can send them back in, try a different pair, make sure you find the ones that fit you and your body the best. So before we get into the episode, check out that link down in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL and start freeing your feet from the shoespiracy that we live in today.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. So let's talk about back spasms. This is some of the questions that we kind of get, and because we know a lot of people experience back spasms. Now, we've done a ton of episodes on the back. So if you have questions about disc herniations, if you have questions about throwing out your back, if you have questions, I mean, what else
stenosis,
have we done on
sciatica,
the back?
Stenosis, SI pain.
Thank you.
So much. Scoliosis.
So much that
stenosis,
we've done.
Stenosis, sciatica, scoliosis. Oh my.
Oh my gosh. We've done a lot on the back, so you can look through all our podcast episodes and find a ton of support. But we really want to like kind of zoom in a little bit on specifically back spasms. Yeah. And what that could be. So what that could mean pathologically that's happening within the body. And then what you can really start to do about it. So I think that's like the overarching complaint by most people is, oh, my back starts to spasm if I do a specific movement, you know, and so we start avoiding movements and stuff like that. So we just want to talk about what you can do.
And I think that one important thing to bring up is like, although back spasm might be used as kind of a common phrase, like it's not really in itself a diagnosis or telling us about any sort of underlying structures. Like it's kind of a general term, back spasm, and it can encompass a lot of different things that might be going on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we might have some sort of annular ligament sprain or strain, and the annular ligaments are ligaments that kind of go between vertebrae. So you could sprain something like that. You could have created some extra pressure in your spine or spinal canal because you're going into a position that you're quite not used to and it doesn't feel safe and a muscle feels like it needs to grab and hold on. Mm-hmm. Even disc issues could cause us to suddenly feel a zing and need to tighten in our back if we've got some sort of herniated disc. And again, usually that goes along with us putting our back in some sort of like extreme position and trying to move with a load or a force that we're not quite used to.
Exactly. And overall, like our body spasms or it creates that spasming effect when it's trying to protect us. So I think that's the first thing that we need to kind of realize that you get that sharp kind of stabbing pain. Maybe you coughed or you sneezed or you lifted something and you weren't used to it. You know, it's not necessarily your back working against you. It's your back protecting you. It's your body trying to say something's not safe. I need to help you out here. Yeah. And so I think that's the first place that I hope people will start to now go in their mind. A back spasm isn't my body working against me. It's my body trying to protect me.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to imagine that based on how painful a back spasm is, but it's really trying to find that stability.
Yeah.
Because we've brought our body into a position, whether we're coughing and suddenly rounding really hard and creating a ton of pressure in our abdomen, and our back doesn't feel safe. It's like, ooh, we are just in a position and creating an amount of pressure that I don't feel safe with. Spasm, create that stability.
Yeah.
Right? So often it ends up turning into a stability issue where we don't feel like we have that dynamic stability or that dynamic control while we're lifting a certain weight or creating a certain pressure in our back.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the causes that happen, you know, to specifically cause this back spasm, we will typically notice it if we're lifting something or we're moving furniture or you're at work and you're lifting something heavy, whatever that may be. Typically, it's not the lift itself that was the issue. It was that you put your body in a position that it's not prepared for. Mm-hmm. And so especially we see this when people are moving and they throw out their back or they get this intense back spasm that happens, right? Because you're suddenly, it's not so much the rounding that we need to start blaming, but it's that we put load in a position that our body wasn't prepared for, meaning that I haven't started to get into this rounded position with a lightweight and then train that position and then start to build it up over time or put my body in an awkward twisting position under load and under stress, especially if there's stress going on that only impacts the stress and the load that you're actually holding. So it's your body not being able to tolerate that specific response in that specific position.
Yeah, if you stack emotional stress on top of the physical stress, then
that's a lot.
You're even that much more at risk, I think. And kind of like you said, people like to demonize the position itself. Right. They like to demonize, oh, you just rounded your back. Don't round your back. Never do that again.
Right.
Which again, if we're having spasms and then we're told never round your back again, never pick something up off the ground because it makes you round your spine, then we start to perpetuate that fear. And again, we're talking about our back needing to feel safe. So if we're bending down to pick something up off the ground, but then we hear that provider or whoever it was speaking in the back of our mind saying, don't bend over. Don't pick up something off the ground. Like, never do that. You're going to round your spine and this is going to happen again. Our back is already going to be on guard and is going to be right on the edge of that spasm because it's afraid. Mm-hmm. It is afraid along with the rest of our brain. our back muscles hear that message that our brain is speaking into us. Oh, I can't bend over. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Be on guard. Right? So we really need to actually avoid telling ourselves those messages of, I can't pick something up. That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And that's huge. I mean, and especially what plays a role in that, too. We impact our immune response. We increase our inflammation just on the stress that we're putting based on the words that we're using. And so all of a sudden, I'm going to start increasing that pain response in general. Or like you said, have the body ready. The brain is going to be like, okay, as soon as you're ready, like if you go round your back, I'm here to protect you, you know? And so we have to start laying down a different message. Overall, that's what's most important here. And we do have to look, you know, in general, we can say, oh, as I'm getting older, this can start to become more of an issue. Or if I am obese, this can become more of an issue. Or if I lack exercise, or if I'm in sustained postures for a long period of time and not moving. If I'm smoking, you know, you kind of are reducing the nutrients that are necessary to go into the disc that way. Different kinds of diseases and sicknesses already play a role in what's happening with the body, whether that's, you know, infection or cancer or arthritis. We're already putting a lot of stimulation into the body. And then especially if we add anything that we're going through, whether it is intense anxiety or depression, that again is only going to add onto our body. But overall, I don't like looking at that and saying, you know, I'm just going to blame my weight or I'm just going to blame my age, because we can still continue to become resilient beings no matter how old we are and no matter how much we weigh. We can still get strong and move more. So that's overall, like, yes, those can be contributors, but they don't paint the whole story.
Absolutely. I mean, we can always look at risks or something that might elevate our risk of developing something like this. But there's a lot more that's going on. And so what to do? Like, I think we want to talk a little bit about what can you do if you have a back spasm and you need to get that thing calmed down and feeling better. And then what can you do to create a strong, resilient system to prevent or reduce your risk of having them in the future? First thing, if you have a back spasm, things are elevated. Our nervous system is elevated and the input going into those muscles is in a place where we foreseeably can't control them. So what can we do to down-regulate? What can we do to down-regulate the system? I would recommend being able to sit or lay on something where your back is up against something.
And supported.
You know, especially something that you might, it might be able to cradle you a little bit. Like if you're laying on a bed or a couch and it kind of is able to wrap around or cradle around your back, it just makes that back feel safe. And then doing anything like breathing, humming, anything to get you in kind of that parasympathetic, rest, relax, digest system. It'll help us activate our core and our diaphragm, which any of that support that comes from breathing will then help those back muscles feel like, okay, you can let go, you can back off a bit. And when we breathe effectively, we actually disinhibit downregulation of our pain, which means we stop pain, we activate our own opioid system in our brain and start to downregulate those pain signals.
Exactly. I mean, anything that we can do to help downregulate the system is everything that's needed. So that could even be dimming lights. That could be putting on music that helps you feel more relaxed. That could be having people talk around you in softer voices, or even just providing touch onto your skin. Not needing a super, you know, you don't need to dig in. You don't need to get a massage to kind of break anything up, especially in a state where your body's already in a really severe protective mode in the spasm, but gentle touch can help. So any of those things that just help to start down-regulating the system. We've done so many podcasts on breath, you know, and just starting to get that longer exhale than that inhale is something that's so important. And then we also want to look at, okay, yes, you can reach for things that, you know, on the bottle say anti-inflammatory, but we can also add in anti-inflammatory techniques in general. So whether that is, you know, if heat is relaxing your body or if ice is kind of providing that relaxation, we've done episodes on both. Both have a good response to pain. But in general, if we're thinking we want something to relax, we probably want to go to heat. We also want to, you know, what else causes inflammation in the body? Not getting sleep. So can we get some sleep? Can we hydrate our body so that it is, we're pumping fluids a little bit more? Can we make sure that we're getting in a little bit more nutrients? We're not necessarily in this time, especially going for the candy, the cookies, and the sodas. You know, this is where we really want to get those anti-inflammatory to kind of kick on and help within this spasming protective mode.
Absolutely. And then once we get things to kind of calm down, and we're in a space where we can start to move with any amount of comfort again, well, first off, if it's still relatively uncomfortable to move right where you're at laying on your back, can you just let those knees start to rock side to side to just start some gentle movement in that core again, continuing with the breath, continuing with the awareness of what your core and your ribs are doing? Can you grab one knee and lift the foot off and slightly pull it towards the chest and bring it down, and slightly pull the other knee towards the chest and bring it down? Because that's just going to help start to influence a little bit of movement through our hips and through our low back while we're in this safer feeling and relaxed position. Or even grabbing under one leg and just lightly trying to kick your leg straight. Doesn't even need to go fully straight to start getting some tension in those hamstrings. That's like where you can start just some basic movement. So we can try and train the brain like, okay, with these basic movements, don't freak out. Don't flare up. We're still in a safe place. And that's going to just continue to help you downregulate that system, especially when we're starting to reintroduce minimal movements.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And then we want to look at, okay, you know, once we start to get back to moving, that's where we want to start to strengthen within our tolerable range. We want to start to move into positions progressively over time that start to create a different response if we go into awkward positions. And that's where we can now start going into prevention, right? How do we prevent any future spasms or potential spasms that could come on, because any of us can experience this. Our body is really good at protecting itself. At the baseline, it wants us to be safe. So, you know, what we can really start doing is, in general, we want to keep that spine as healthy, mobile, and strong as possible. And that's not just in neutral, but that's in any position that we might put it in, you know. And this isn't saying that you all of a sudden need to start doing heavy Jefferson curls.
Yeah.
But at least we're starting to do, you know, nothing on our body and understanding segmental movement of that spine, rounding into a position as we come down, extending as we come up, and using our breath even can create more tension in the body rather than holding onto a weight. So there's things that we can start to build in as routines that create this healthy, mobile, and strong spine from lifting and from doing mobility work.
Absolutely. And starting to, like you said, with the different positioning, like being able to then progress from doing a basic squat or just sitting down to a chair and standing up to varying things up a little bit, having one foot slightly in front of the other and doing a staggered stance squat, doing a lunge, doing a single leg exercise, like a single leg deadlift, or working on doing deadlifts with your legs, you know, even to progressing to a single leg deadlift. All of these types of things are going to help bring us to a point where we can feel like we can control through those different back positions and hip positions that will put us in, start to put us under a little more tension, and feel safe. Again, one of the main messaging when it comes to any back pain, let alone back spasms, is continuing to show our back that we can keep it safe, we can keep it feeling supported when we go into these different positions that we then might run into throughout the day.
Right. And in general, especially when we look at studies and stuff that tell us, okay, what are really preventative matters when it comes to back pain? You know, continual movement. That's something that's so incredibly important and been studied over and over again. And this doesn't mean that you're even doing the squats and the deadlifts and stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe you're just getting a daily walk in. Daily walks and putting that as a regimen has been shown to help significantly decrease back pain and really plays a role in what we feel within our body. Starting to get low impact activities in, which include walking, right? But even if we're on a treadmill or getting onto a bike or something that's going to create a little bit more of that endurance aspect, really helps, again, with what we're feeling in our muscles, even throughout our back. So starting to get more regular movement. And this, you know, one of the things that we said can cause this is sustained postures. There's no, it's not just saying that it's poor posture, it's sustained posture for a really long time, which means not moving.
Well, to me, sustained posture is poor posture. Yes. And I think that's the bad concept we have of posture, is when someone says posture, everyone gets this image of somebody rounded and slumped forward, but it shouldn't be an image. It should be a video of that person sitting rounded and slumped forward, like
never moving,
like a 10-hour straight video of them just sitting there. That's poor posture. Like if that person sat like that for, you know, 20 seconds and then stretched and got up and laid on their stomach. And,
like it's real that we're going to be in there.
20 minutes and started then moving dynamically throughout the day and wasn't in one position for more than 10 or 20 minutes. That to me is pretty good posture. They're moving dynamically throughout their day. They're using a lot of different positions and they're not just sitting in that one position for 10 hours. So that being said, mobility and finding ways to implement mobility and movement in different positions throughout the day, being able to open up those hips, open up the chest, flex and extend the back, like you said, put yourself in different positions consistently throughout the day. We're keeping the body moving. We're following the research.
And I mean, even developing practices like going to yoga, now we're not only getting more stretching and mobility in, but we are getting mindfulness practice. We're usually listening to meditations. We're usually listening to an instructor kind of take us into like more of getting out of the day, right? And back into our bodies. And it's this mindfulness mixed with stretching. And I got to tell you as well, like I've never met someone who is well into their 70s, 80s who does yoga on a regular basis and is having a ton of pain issues. Like, in fact, it's usually the complete opposite. And I'm not saying that yoga is everything. Like, I don't do yoga on a regular basis, right? I find other practices to add in mindfulness and mobility. But if we can start to find that mobility, so say you're not going to go to yoga, great, add in mobility. You know, add in mindfulness and breath work. Mindfulness literally just means trying to take you out of your day. And what is my rib cage doing? How am I breathing? Where am I breathing from? Starting to get back into your body. That is what we want. We want you to start to be mindful of your body rather than all the outside stressful distractions that are happening all the time. And really, you know, starting to understand proper mechanics when we're going through lifting. This is huge. Because then it's going to help us to feel more empowered to be able to lift heavier weights and not be so afraid of it. And so if you are a regular yoga person, you're like, great, I do that. Cool. But also lift. And this is something that I'm bringing back into my mom as well. And she's actually asking me, when are we working out? When are we doing this? I want to get strong because she knows how important this is as she continues to age.
Yeah. And great place to learn mechanics and proper lifting mechanics is in Gen Health. We've got the full body low impact plan, which has currently two 30-day phases. So two 30-day programs with six different strength workouts each throughout the month that are sprinkled in. There's going to be a third phase coming. So soon there will be 90 full days of strength training and the amount of education that Jen packs into those in how to do these lifts to best set up your body to feel strong and dynamic and safe in all these positions. That's everything. Because like we're saying, when it comes to back spasms, it likely happened because you put your body and your back in a position and under a load that it didn't feel safe under, that it wasn't prepared for, and therefore it felt like it needed to spasm to find safety. Lifting effectively and learning how to become resilient and strong and dynamic in all those positions is going to really, really help prevent or reduce your risk of these things.
I hope you really enjoyed and learned a little bit more about back spasms, where they come from, what you can do to help treat it in the immediate, and then what you can do to help prevent it. I mean, this is everything, right? So if you haven't started a free week of Gen Health, it doesn't have to be the full body low impact plan. We have a high intensity plan too. We have a core plan. We have a mobility plan. We have just anything that you need that's specific to what you're going through, especially if you want to really focus and hone in on low back. We have a low back plan. Just start a free week, explore what could be possible. It doesn't have to take very long to start to learn, understand about your body. So we have the link below. It's gen.health/free trial. And please, please pass this episode along to anyone you know who has been through back spasms, has been told that they're not allowed to round their back, and has been told some of these fear things that is just going to continue to hold them back. Please pass this episode along. That's how we start to educate more people.